apologize to Andrew Young and his family for giving him grief about how he was playing left field today earlier in the game against the Nationals. He just hit a grand slam.
Woo!
And the Diamondbacks have 10 runs. It's the second inning!
It's 10 runs in the second inning!
10-4 in the top of the second inning. Bottom of the second inning. It's 10-4.
National fans right now are like, how much money we owe Patrick Corbin?
Yeah, 10-4, the grand salami by Andrew Young in the top half of the second. It has given the time back 3 runs in the first, 7 in the second. And in the game that is currently being heard on ESPN 620, the Diamondbacks are beating the Nationals 10-4. Welcome back. 5 o'clock hour Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Yesterday, we played you comments from Stephen A. Smith, who, at least initially, it appeared he was kind of backtracking on some stuff he had said a couple of weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, he was just throwing all sorts of praise at Devin Booker and the Suns, and y'all better take them seriously, and they're real, they're legit. And then yesterday, when asked a question about whether the Suns were true title contenders, he said, no, I don't think they are. They're missing that piece. That piece. And we play that sound on the air, and we're like, what piece? Who is he talking about?
Yes.
And through playing his sound bites, we realized he wasn't talking about a who, he was talking about a what. Experience. That was the piece he was talking about. There's no guy that he was talking about. He was just talking about them as a whole.
So. No, we don't think that he was.
It didn't sound like he was talking about a specific person. It sounded like he was referring to a concept.
Yeah, and he should have said something. They're missing something, not a piece. Because when you say piece, you think, okay, what is it, a center? Is it another guard? Like, what, another wing? What do you think they're missing? What's the piece? Instead of just saying, hey, it's something. I mean, you're missing something. There's something that he thinks they're missing is experience. And listen, when you go through intangibles and you play in a playoff series, there's all these advantages that a team may have. This team may have more height than you. This team may shoot the three better than you. This team may have a better coach than you. One team may have a better bench. Experience is something that you always look at. Oh, this team has more experience. So that's a check mark for them. It's an advantage. It doesn't necessarily mean it's an advantage that's going to give a team a victory. Plenty of teams that didn't have experience have won playoff series. It's just one notch that the other teams may have over the Suns.
And to acknowledge that the Suns don't have it's not a detriment, I think is wrong. It does. I don't know how much it hurts them, but there are other teams that just have more experience, and we'll see. We'll find out how much that matters. Bobby Marks, ESPN insider for the NBA, who joins us all the time here on the Burns and Gambo show, did an Instagram video in which he said, the lack of experience, don't worry about it. And here's the reason why. Chris Paul coming to the Suns is like Jason Kidd coming to the New Jersey Nets 20 years ago when I was the GM there.
We all know what Kidd did in New Jersey. 2 straight NBA finals, 6 straight playoff appearances. And when you look at what Chris Paul has done in Phoenix. Team has not been to the playoffs since 2010. Was a perennial bottom feeder when it comes to the lottery. Had some young talent with DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker. But now sitting in the number 2 hole in the Western Conference at 39-15. And a legitimate threat to get out of not only the Western Conference, but to win it all.
And then he went on to say that just like the Nets team that Jason Kidd to and took him to 2 straight NBA finals, that Nets team 20 years ago, man, they didn't have a lot of experience outside of Jay Kidd.
I don't want to hear that this young team is too young and they don't have playoff experience, whether it be Devin Booker or DeAndre Ayton or Cam Johnson or Mikal Bridges. We heard the same thing in New Jersey back in 2002 when we had got the number 1 seed. Kenyon Martin had never been to the playoffs. Richard Jefferson had never been to the playoffs. Jason Collins had never been to the playoffs. Kerry Kittles had been there once. This team in New Jersey was not battle tested, and we proved a lot of people wrong. The difference is there's no Shaq and Kobe in the NBA this year. No offense to LeBron in L.A., or Kevin Durant and James Harden or Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn, there is no Shaq and Kobe that Phoenix will have to go up against like we did in New Jersey.
He's almost suggesting the Suns could go further than they went in New Jersey with Jason Kidd because there's no Shaq and Kobe.
They went to the finals twice. The second year, they added veteran players. They added Ronnie Rogers and they added Dikembe Mutombo.
Right.
Were on that team. But the first year, it was... And listen, I love when people bring up a blast from the past. My God, I remember Kerry Kittles so well. Kerry Kittles out of Villanova. totally remember Kerry Kittles, played most of his career with New Jersey, was a good player. But he's right. I mean, it's a really excellent point and probably the team that, you know, most resembles what the Suns are. Kerry Kittles was 4 years in. He was there, you know, a top draft pick, star, you know, young star player. Maybe he's a little bit like Book in that sense, but there were a lot of rookies and a lot of first year players and second year players. I mean, I think it was Lucius Harris had the most experience at 8 years. Jason Kidd was seven at that time. He was 7 years of experience, and Kidd in some ways is a little bit like Paul. Difference, you know, Paul has a lot more experience than Jason Kidd had, but they were veteran point guards that were leading teams that had a lot of youth.
Yeah. I wonder, and I need to look at this because I don't know this off the top of my head. I wonder if the difference for New Jersey in 2001-2002 and the Suns in 2021 is that, well, yeah, there's no Shaq and Kobe waiting for you in the NBA Finals like there was back then. Was the Eastern Conference minefield an easier one to get through for New Jersey?
Yes.
Than this Western Conference minefield is for the Suns?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to say
Charlotte and the Celtics were the top other teams. I think Charlotte and the Celtics were good. I have to go back and look at that year, but those were like the East wasn't dominant 2001 NBA playoffs because it was 2001, then 2002 were the years that they did it. So that was, okay, it might have been 2002 NBA playoffs that they were in. It wasn't a minefield like these are. It just wasn't. They were good teams, but I don't think that they were great teams. So the Nets beat the Celtics in the conference finals. They beat Indiana in the first round. They beat Charlotte in the second round.
You see the point I'm making, though? I think you do.
They got swept by the Lakers.
I appreciate what Bobby Marks is saying about the Suns. I really do, because he's kind of point counterpoint to what Stephen A. Smith said yesterday. Experience matters, and here's Bobby Marks saying, yeah, no, it really doesn't. It didn't matter for us. Man, this West is loaded. It's loaded, okay? Yeah. I mean, if you're the Phoenix Suns, and things break your way, you'll play Dallas or Memphis in round one. Okay, you should be fine there, although, you know, Dallas is, they're good. I don't think nothing the Suns can't handle. Once you get past that, you're probably playing the Clippers in round two. And once you get past that, you're probably playing the winner of the Lakers in Utah in the Western Conference Finals. I don't know if Jason Kidd and that young Nets team had to go through anything like that 20 years ago, Pearson, like the Suns would have to go through now.
Pearson Walker with the combo in Boston. That was Antonio Pearson Walker. Indiana had Reggie Miller still and Jermaine O'Neal.
Okay.
Okay, and, you know, maybe that was, I mean, Reggie Miller was great, but that might have been a little bit past that time.
Mm-hmm.
Philly was Iverson. So, you know, Philly was led by Iverson, who got to the finals 1 year and then lost in five. They won the first game against the Lakers, then they lost the next five.
Yeah.
Charlotte, that was Baron Davis's team. I can't remember all of those players, but I mean, I would agree with you that there was some good teams, but I don't know that there were great teams then.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody looks at the Nets that made it to the NBA Finals 2 years in a row. But that was a few years. Like the Philly team with Iverson, that was not a great team. That wasn't a great basketball team. The Nets teams, they were not a great team. They were decent teams that really had no chance of winning the NBA championships.
Look, I appreciate what Bobby said, because it does kind of say, no, the experience is, we didn't need any experience. You know, we brought Jason Kidd on board, and he whipped our guys into shape, and we went on that run, and this year's Suns team will not find a team like that Lakers team waiting for them in the NBA championship the way we did, having to play Shaq and Kobe in their prime. Cool. That's great. I hope he's right. The experience thing, we'll see how much of a thing is. We can guess. We can speculate. We can sit here and say, I think it will be. I think it won't be. We won't know until game one of whomever they're playing in the first round. And then we won't. Yeah. And then we'll find out. We'll find out if it matters to Book, if it matters to Ayton, if it matters. We'll find it. And not just in game one, but the adjustments that are made from game one to game three. Game three to game six, game six to game seven. That's where the experience comes into play, right? Because you're just not used to that if you've never done that before.
If they lose and Booker and Ayton and McHale all play well, I mean, we can't sit there and say they lost because they didn't have the experience. We can say they lost because the other team was better and they gained experience. Now, if those guys, I mean, clearly, if those guys struggle or two of them struggle, we can say, look, I mean, the experience, they just didn't have the experience. But if Chris Paul's the one missing the final shot in a game that can win it for him, he's got all the experience in the world. I'm not going to blame it on the young guys.
Yeah. Join Ron Wolfley on the eve of the NFL draft as the Cardinals get ready to make their first round selection. Text the word draft to 620-620. You'll get an invitation to the exclusive Arizona Sports Valley virtual draft experience featuring Wolf and other football guests. Again, the word draft. Text it to 620-620. The Valley Virtual Series is presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. He says he's 100% healthy and the best player in the draft. Would the Cardinals be willing to roll the dice on Caleb Farley at 16? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, hanging out with you here on this Thursday afternoon. Still 10-4, bottom of the third. Middle of the third, going into the bottom of the third. Diamondbacks are crushing the Washington Nationals.
Ready for this line on Patrick Corbin?
Yeah, go for it.
Two innings pitched, six hits, 10 runs, 9 earned, 4 walks, 1 strikeout, 2 hit by pitch, 3 home runs.
Ugh.
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 Since the 2019 World Series,
okay,
13 games started, ERA of 6.13, 97 hits in 72 innings with 25 walks.
Mm. Maybe the Diamondbacks should call and see if they want Madison Bumgarner for him.
No, because Corbin's got more money on his contract. He signed a $140 million contract.
No, I was kidding.
Since the 2019 World Series, he's had 13 starts, and he's pitching to an ERA over 6.
Wow. Well, that's too bad, because I always liked Patrick when he was here, but that was not a contract or a player that I was wanting the Diamondbacks to keep around, and I know you kind of felt the same way. All right, so that's what's going on with that game. We'll keep you completely updated on what's going on there. Let's talk about Caleb Farley, because he has been,
yes.
I get the feeling, we're 2 weeks away from the draft right now. I think it literally starts 2 weeks from this moment right now. And Caleb Farley, I suspect, is going to be one of the most talked about players over these next 2 weeks for us and all the other shows here at the station, because the closer we get to this thing, the more he projects to be there at cornerback at number 16, right? Because there's concerns about his back, there's concerns about his health, there's concerns about him slipping and sliding in the draft. And so if you're looking for a cornerback, Surtain, probably gone. J.C. Horn, even though the early mocks liked him for the Cardinals at 16.
They don't now.
They don't now, right? And Farley would seem to be the one of the three who's slipping a little bit. Well, here's Caleb Farley trying to do some damage control about his back surgery and about his injuries and the fact that he's slipping. Will it be effective?
I feel great. I've been moving great. You know, I walked out of the hospital on my procedure day. 2 days later, you know, I flew back across the country. So I'm really just giving it the time it needs to rest, you know, before I go cranking it back up. I can't feel any better than I do. And, you know, it's hard to say what happened on draft day. I'm expected to fall because of the operation that I had. It is what it is.
He's really making the rounds, Gambo. SiriusXM NFL Radio.
Sure.
Did a one-on-one with Peter King, all trying to reassure everybody, I'm fine. I'm the best in this class. You don't have to worry about my back at all. He knows. And his agent knows.
Yeah,
he knows what's going on.
Listen, there's a spot in the draft where he's too good of a prospect to pass up. But it might not be early. You may not, you know, you got to pick in the top 10. You might not want to take that type of a risk with a player like that. Maybe top 15. You don't want to take that risk. Maybe you get to 21 and you're like, you know what? Man, he's probably, if he's healthy, he's probably a top 10 player in this draft. Let's just take the chance. So there is this point where he's going to get drafted in the first round, but he's probably going to get passed on by a few teams with earlier picks that like him just because of the injury history. You're talking about two back surgeries in the last few months.
Right.
You're talking about a knee injury, and you're talking about a guy who didn't play last year. He's a converted player from wide receiver to corner. He's got all the size and skill. You would think that he could be good, but there are the red flags that are out there. But there is a point in the draft where a team's going to say, you know what? The risk is worth the reward,
mm-hmm.
and we'll take him at 21 or 22. I think that's past 16, though. I think that that risk-reward comes after 16, not before.
You've been saying that for a few days now. I mean, to the point where we've been talking about options in the draft where you say, okay, the two cornerbacks are gone. The three wide receivers, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Jamar Chase, they're gone. You start figuring out who, you know, process of elimination. I know that's kind of a big thing for you when you get to a draft like this.
The Miami pass rushers are going to be the pick at 16.
Okay. So then you start doing process of elimination and you say, okay, well then who's, and then you just keep going back to Elijah Vera Tucker, the offensive lineman for USC. It just seems like you kind of feel like he's going to be there. You assume, you don't know for sure, but you think he's going to be there. And if you assume that the wide receivers are gone, if you assume that of the three cornerbacks, that Farley is the only one left, and you assume that they're not going with the Miami guys at all, that it sort of almost becomes this process of elimination where Elijah Vera Tucker becomes the guy, right?
If I do a Gambo 5 this year, I would imagine that I'll have, you know, Vera Tucker, the offensive lineman. I wouldn't put Newsom in. I would not put Newsom in. I don't think that Newsom is
not
at 16.
Not at 16.
Nope.
And for the uninitiated, the Gambo 5 is the five names that you think the Cardinals will draft one of these five players. It's always the rules are if they stay at 16, right?
Yeah,
if they move, then it's a totally different deal. But if they stay at 16, you don't think Newsom would be in play at 16? You don't think the Miami edge guys would be in play
at 16? Last year we had a Gambo 5, and Isaiah Simmons was one of the five, and I said that Isaiah Simmons would be the pick. And we've nailed it every year we've done it. So I think, I don't know if I'll do it again this year, but I might. But if I did, I would imagine right now, I would think I would take an offensive lineman. I think I would take a defensive player. I think I would take a defensive player that's not a cornerback.
Okay.
I would take a defensive player that is a cornerback. I would probably take a wide receiver that's not any of the top three.
Mm.
I would take a wide receiver that's not one of the top three. And then with that fifth one, I might take a running back. So that's where I'd be right now today.
Okay. Farley, again, doing the thing. I know I'm the best. Teams know I'm the best.
I'm past Arthur. You know, saying I'm the best. You know, I know I'm the best. You know, teams pretty much know I'm the best as well. You know, but it doesn't matter where you get drafted. You know, that's just the start of your career, and I'm thankful to, you know, have a start. I'm very fortunate.
All right, I wanted to play that, but I want to go back. First of all, two things.
Yeah.
Are you in a position yet to name these names, or are you just talking positions? And number two, what do you mean you might do a Gambo 5 this year?
I don't know. It's...
I mean, you... Look at the look on Sarah's face. Like, you can't deprive us of the Gambo 5.
And our listeners would not be very happy. Be happy because we've received quite a few tweets already asking, like, "Hey, where is it? Is he doing one? What's going on?" The demand is there.
I don't know.
What's the holdup? What's the apprehension?
I don't like a lot of the people on social media. They mean.
Well, okay.
But the information is what they want.
Yeah, no, and the audience is, you know, they're...
Right, but, you know, for 1 year, if I don't get it right, I can do my best to get it right. There's no guarantees I'm going to get it right.
Then you don't get it right. So what? I mean, this is...
Yeah.
This is not like a money-back guarantee thing we're running here on the Burns and Gambo show, right? Yeah. I mean...
I don't want to give the trolls any ammunition.
Oh,
don't let the trolls stop you from doing what you do.
Totally agree. 100%.
So I'd have a wide receiver,
if you're wrong,
an
you're
offensive
wrong.
Lineman... A defensive player that's not a corner and a running back. That's where I am right now.
But you're not ready to name names yet. You're still.
I could probably do it tomorrow or Monday.
No pressure. I don't know. We haven't talked about this.
I mean, I have the names in my head. I don't want to give them out now.
You're springing this on me, so I don't know. Are you ready to name names yet, or are you just more comfortable saying positions right now? You dictate this.
I'll hold off, and I got to do some more work. I mean,
that's fine.
Like, there's a lot of man hours that goes into trying to nail this. A lot of man hours.
I'm telling you, Sarah's 100% right. If you're worried about a few people on social media who are going to rip you up and down because you get
social media,
don't worry about that.
Don't worry about them. And I'll take care of them.
Yes, we'll shield you. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. So what? It's. Again, this is not like you're offering some kind of lifetime warranty here,
offensive
right?
Offensive lineman, wide receiver, cornerback, defensive player, running back. That's where I'm at right now. That's my five. I have the five in my head. I just don't want to go with it yet because I got to Fine. Okay. See some more.
Fair.
We'll wait. But just
I won't
know
have Newsom in my five. I won't have Rousseau in my five.
Know
I won't
that
have
Sarah Phillips has your
in my
back.
Five.
Yes,
Sarah's got
I
your
have
back.
Your back. And I'm going to start formulating insults now for the trolls, just so I've got a list when it's time.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
I come prepared.
We got you. We got your back, Gemma. Don't you worry about it. You do you.
We've got every year. We've nailed it.
I know.
And
see,
and with
go.
The Suns too. The Suns and the Cardinals.
So what do you have to worry about? You'll be just a lot of work. You'll be fine. Fine. You love it, you nut. In addition to having a great season,
I want to watch International House Hunters. Place
the
in the
real
Netherlands
answer
I was,
comes
that
out.
Was seriously the most
the
random. That was honest.
I was watching one from Amsterdam. I was like, that looks pretty cool.
I don't want to give you five names of people the Cardinals could draft. I'd rather watch HGTV. You really are going to want to take
was
that.
His house if you're going to ride it with a houseboat right on the water.
If you're going to rip him on Twitter, rip him for that.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, seriously,
the Netherlands.
I fall asleep to HGTV every night. I don't stay. I wouldn't rather watch it.
Yesterday, it was one. A couple went to Berlin. Oh, I was like, that looks great.
Oh boy,
losing your edge, Gambo.
You really are. I don't want to work. I want to sit around and watch HGTV all day. Oh boy,
I like the International
oh, boy.
House Hunters. All these new places I want to go to.
Retirement police arrest this man. Round him up. Arrest this man, retirement police. In addition to having a great season as a team, Devin Booker is knocking on the door of taking down a team record that in the past we might have thought meant something. Does it mean something now? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show. And Gambo on this Thursday afternoon. Suns, Sacramento Kings coming up tonight. You just heard Sarah mention it in the Sports Center update. The injury report for night, no Abdel Nader. He won't play again. 14th straight game he's going to miss. And the Suns will find out here in about an hour and a half, you know, if Monty's words after what happened a couple days ago against Houston, if they carry any weight, right? Because he finally kind of didn't yell. And screamed, didn't throw much stuff around the room, but he was clearly bothered by the fact they had a 24-point lead in that game, and instead it was a two-possession game with about 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, right? Even he, who had for the longest time had been, I don't care how we win, I'll take a win, I don't care if it's ugly, I don't care if it's pretty, I just want to win. Even he was like, okay, enough of this. This has got to stop. We'll see what happens tonight against Kings team that has lost 8 straight games, missing a bunch of guys due to injury, fading fast from the play-in tournament. This is one of those don't look past them type games. We'll see what the Suns do tonight.
They're not going to let Dakota down.
I hope
our
not.
Special guests for the bad news for the Kings.
Yeah.
They're not going to let Dakota down tonight.
If you missed it, and we'll talk about Devin Booker, I promise, in just a second. It was such a cool thing that the Suns did by coming up with tickets for him. I've got the sound right here, Gambo. I hear you asking for it. Yeah, hold on a sec. Let me just unmute the site. So we do our bad news for the Kings, right?
Yes.
Who are the Suns playing tonight? Sacramento Kings. What does that mean for the Kings? Bad news for the Kings. Gambo and Jordan do it, and only Gambo and Jordan do it. Today we got sent a video on Twitter from Jason. And Jason had his 21-year-old son with cerebral palsy do it. And this is what it sounded like.
Dakota, who do the Suns play tonight?
Kings.
What's that mean for the Kings?
Bad news for the Kings.
That's great. So then we get Jason and Dakota on the show.
Yeah, right? Long time listener. Him and his son listen to the show. The father's been listening for 20 years, and him and his son listen to the show, and it's a way that they bond and they like the bad news for the opponent, and they kind of do that along with us when we do it.
Yep. Now, so we have him do bad news for the Kings, and it. Okay, yeah, that one's not going to sound very well, so we'll just have to tell this part of the story. So we get him on the phone. What does it mean? And Dakota yells bad news for the Kings. And that's when you tell him that the Suns are giving him 2 tickets for tonight's game.
And he was so excited. Now, the video is up on our website, ArizonaSports.com. Yes. So you can go to ArizonaSports.com and you can see it. And it's a video of the father had a video in his house of him talking to us.
Doing bad news for the Kings. And it was the Suns. They reached out to Jason on Twitter and said, man, we'd love for you and Dakota to go to the game tonight.
Yeah, I had sent that to a couple of people in the Suns organization earlier to say, hey, here, take a look at this. But for some reason, yeah, the Suns reached out. They must have seen it or heard about it. And then they reached out and offered tickets for the game tonight.
Yeah.
So instead of going to therapy, he's going to the Suns game.
Going to the Suns game tonight.
Yes.
So he did bad news for the Kings tonight. So it was really cool. It was to watch it all, see it all, experience it all. Go to ArizonaSports.com. We tweeted the link out from the Burns and Gambo Twitter page from each of our individual accounts as well. It's really, really cool. Okay. So on to tonight's game. Devin Booker.
Yes.
And really for the rest of the season now for Devin Booker. Our friends over at Bright Side of the Sun mentioned today, and we love Bright Side, they give us all sorts of content that we could talk about all the time. Can Booker break the single season Suns scoring average? Didn't even occur to me.
I never thought about it either until today. So you gave me something to think about.
The all-time record is Tom Chambers, 27.2 points per game. Okay, he set it in 1989-1990, that season. Total points Booker can't get to because obviously they're not playing a full 82 games this year. But points per game he could. If Devin Booker plays the final 18 games of the season, he would have to average 31.3 points per game to get there.
He's not going to be able to do it. Because you know why he's not going to be able to do it? Because Earl Watson's not the coach of this team. Earl Watson's not the head coach. This is not about scoring 70. This is not about getting the record. This is about winning basketball games and setting yourself up for the playoffs. And sometimes you're going to want to sit Devin Booker in the fourth quarter when you've got a big lead to rest him, to make sure that he's ready to go. You've got to cram a lot of games into a short amount of time this year, and they are not going to go after a record for Devin Booker that, in all intents and purposes, is meaningless. It's meaningless. Did you even know that Tom Chambers held that record?
You know, I actually did.
I did not.
I actually did. I knew Tom Chambers held that record.
I did not know that Tom Chambers held that record.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised, but I did not know it was him.
I hadn't thought of it. And I think it's meaningless to us. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that would be a record that one day Devin Booker would like to have. You know, I mean, it's who's the all-time single season leading scorer in Suns history to be able to say that it's Devin Booker? But in the context of the here, in the context of the now, it is meaningless. And what you just said a second ago, the one word you used, why this is not going to happen, rest. Rest. Devin Booker's not going to get this record
and
this
sacrifice.
Year because Devin Booker, if you've got the chance to sit Devin Booker tonight in the fourth quarter because you're up 25 points,
you're going
to
sit him.
You're going to sit him. And that's going to take away opportunities away from him to be able to get Tom Chambers' record. And at the end of the day, that is 1,000 times more important.
Nobody cares about the record.
Tom Chambers.
I never even thought about it. You never even thought about it. It was on a story you found, but it's not something we ever discussed or thought. It's interesting that he's close enough to where if he averages, 31 points a game, he could do it, but it's not something that anybody really cares about. They care about winning games and getting to the playoffs. If that happens, it happens and we could discuss it, but I don't think it could happen for the simple fact of the rest. And then I also think the sacrifice of, what do I have to do to make sure that DeAndre Ayton continues to be engaged in the game? Because we're getting a lot out of him right now.
That's a good
point,
too.
So if you've got to pass up a couple of jump shots to make sure you get the ball to DeAndre to keep him engaged, because him engaged is giving you a break and it's also helping you and it's developing him and getting him ready for the playoffs, well, then you give up 6 points to get the ball to DeAndre so he can continue to do what he's doing.
Troy Lovello did some tinkering with his lineup today. And through 4 innings, it's working. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The next one. And a fly ball to right, sending Soto back. He looks up, and it's gone! A grand slam into the bullpen in right field, and the Diamondbacks lead it 10-3. Andrew Young with a second big league home run. This clears the bases.
Well, that's a heck of a lineup, Troy Lovello, rolling out there tonight. It's working.
I guarantee it's going to be, I'd go with the same lineup again tomorrow.
Oh, hell to the, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, here's Lovello. He'll probably want to give somebody a day off and give somebody another opportunity. They scored 10 runs in the first 3 innings. Run the same guys out tomorrow.
Do it again and again.
Like, seriously, run again. The same guys out there until they can't do it.
Top of the fifth, Diamondbacks are beating the Nationals by a score of 10-4. the only person who has not gotten either on base, driven in a run, or scored a run is Asdrubal Cabrera.
Former National.
He's 0 for 3 with four men left on base. Everybody else has gotten in on the fun.
Look, Sarah and I were commenting off air. We were watching the game. He got a standing ovation at Nationals.
Asdrubal Cabrera?
Yeah, and we were both kind of surprised at that. I didn't realize he was that meaningful to them.
He was an Indian.
It was hats off. It was applause. It was he took off his helmet.
Wasn't he wasn't he a main part of their World Series championship team?
He was on that team.
I mean, that's why.
I just have never really associated him, you know, as Mr. National the way that he was getting the reception that he was.
I'm guessing that was their first opportunity to recognize him. I bet.
That's probably true.
I bet that was their first opportunity, because last season, if he's with the Indians last year, right?
He was with the Indians. His whole career, he was an Indians player. Last year, he was with the Nationals. He was with the Nationals for 2 years. So it was just the last 2 years, he was with the Nationals. When they won it, he hit .323 for them.
He was
38 games.
He was a huge.
He came over and went a trade with Texas.
Yep. And he was a big, big part of why that team played as well in the second half. For some reason, I thought he was with a different team last year. But if he was with the Nationals there was nobody
They still weren't allowed to be there.
Okay. Yeah. Eventually, I'll catch up with the rest of the world. Yeah, I'll get there eventually. But then why would they? Well, of course, they couldn't give him a standing ovation, you dummy. There wasn't anybody there. See, this is how my brain works. It's just like sometimes
it doesn't work.
It's like 15 seconds behind. Give it a second. I'll catch up.
There's 15 seconds behind.
That's an upgrade.
I would take that. Sign me up.
The big hit was from Andrew Young, who's playing in left field and has had a couple of misadventures out there, to say the least. But the grand slam has been huge. Wyatt Matheson. He has a couple runs driven in. Eduardo Escobar has another homer. Was that 5 in 7 games now?
We were fortunate in the beginning of the season.
Ooh-wee! And then Carson Kelly.
I remember telling Torrey Lovello to have a short leash on him.
And then Carson Kelly bumped up to the 2-hole, responded.
Listen, rightfully so.
Another home run today for him as well.
Rightfully so. He's playing well. I mean, I've always liked Carson Kelly. He had a bad year last year, but... You know, in a pandemic year and everything, it's just different. It was different for a lot of guys. Carson Kelly's one of those guys that seems to be rebounding right now. Madison Bumgarner doesn't. But Carson Kelly, you want to get back to thinking that you've got one of the better young catchers in the game, and you're set at that position for a while.
Yeah, so it's a 7-run second is the big difference here. And like I say, just about everybody getting involved. Care to take a guess on Patrick Corbin's ERA after 2 starts so far this year? Let's throw out a number. What you got?
22.
Oh, did you look?
I swear to God, I didn't look.
All right, yeah, you're not looking. 21.32. That's pretty good.
My guess was 22. I did not look.
10 runs, 9 earned, 4 walks, 1 strikeout, 3 home runs allowed in 2 innings today. He's been really, really bad. And fortunately for the Diamondbacks, Merrill Kelly seems to have settled in a little bit. It was a little choppy for him in the first. He gave up 4 runs, including a 2-run shot by Starlin Castro. He settled in. 4 innings, 4 earned runs, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts, 6 hits. After that first inning, we were wondering, I mean,
he's still in the game right now, right?
Yeah, he's still in the game.
Okay.
Yeah, he's still there.
All right.
He's still in the game.
You got to get some innings out of these starting pitchers too.
It's a long road trip for him. It's a 10 gamer, including this 4 game series against the Nationals. Yeah, they're going to need some innings so they don't get too far into their bullpen. So Diamondbacks right now with the 10-4 lead, a game that can be heard on ESPN 620. We had, here's Torrey Lovello on why he moved Carson Kelly up in the lineup.
Carson, has been doing a fantastic job of barreling up the baseball that has produced a lot of slug and a lot of productive at bats. So I just want to have the ability to, allow our hitters that are going to impact the game from an offensive standpoint, have as many chances as possible. I've expressed to you guys that I would be rotating things and not sticking to one set lineup. I think our guys have adjusted very, very well to that. It's about adaptability, and they've done a nice job.
Also, I'm sorry,
I'm glad that he did that. Now, hopefully, he'll stick with it.
Oh, I
just stick with it.
He'll stick with Kelly in the two hole. I don't know if he'll stick with this lineup tomorrow, but I mean, he should. He's going to stick with Carson Kelly in the two hole after the way he's responded. I mean, Carson Kelly's hitting 450 something so far this year. I mean, for all of the talk of the struggles of the Diamondbacks offensively, he's hitting 458. Eduardo Escobar is up to 250 on the year.
Good.
Man.
Good, because if the season does go south, I want these guys to be doing well where they can, you know, where they can get traded, to be honest with you. I mean, if Escobar plays well enough to get traded, I'm all for it.
If the season gets kind of sideways. In the meantime, something that might have to do with the season getting sideways, here's Torey Lovullo with an update, an injury update on Ketel Marte.
Ketel has continued to progress and is still getting treatment every single day. And they initiated some really light movements forward. And it's part of the program. Still hasn't resumed any baseball activity, but, you know, he's doing more than just getting the treatment. He's up and on his feet and making some good forward movements, which is exciting news for us because there is progress that's being made.
Good forward movements are not baseball activities. And until
they're going to be very careful with him.
As they should. That just suggests to me that this could, because when did he hurt it? A week ago? Has it already been a week?
He didn't play in the home opener, which was
Friday. He injured it on Wednesday.
So it had to be Wednesday or Thursday.
Wednesday or Thursday, yeah. It's been a week. It's been a week. Yeah, it's something tells me this one's going to be a while. Just have a
week ago yesterday is the game that he actually got injured in.
Okay. So that's a week ago.
Yeah. I just have this feeling it's going to be a little while until we see Ketel Marte.
Tough injuries. That's a tough injury. So
no doubt about it.
But they're winning this game without him. They got to start winning some series.
Yep. Time for the Coors Seltzer. What's on tonight? Brought to you by Coors Seltzer. When you drink a Coors Seltzer, you help save the Salt River. D-backs baseball obviously going on right now on ESPN 620. And then at 7 o'clock tonight, the Kings and the Suns live from Phoenix Suns Arena.
Yeah, I think that'll overtake the International House Hunters for the night.
I would hope. But if you come in tomorrow breaking down home sales in Norway, we're going to be a little worried. We're out of here.
Love Norway.
Luke Lipinski is next. We'll see you tomorrow at straight up 2 o'clock.
Have a great night, everyone.